We're going to be looking this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. I'm going to take a minute, though, to read the entire chapter. And actually, when Kevin prayed this morning, the Lord's Supper, you actually prayed exactly what we'll be looking at. I don't remember the exact words, but God revealing himself to man and those things. That's exactly what this portion will be looking at. So let's take a minute here to read from the beginning of chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God ordained before ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So I began going through the book of 1 Corinthians some time ago. Seems like a long, long time ago. Probably back in January. And we made it into chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. But I wanted to read that those couple verses with 6 to 16 just to get the background and the context. So we want to be looking at this section, and notice the title that I gave this, The Wisdom of God Revealed to Man. So we want to be thinking about the wisdom of God. And if you remember, going back into chapter 1, particularly starting at verse 18 and following, Paul began an argument there contrasting the wisdom of man or the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of God. And for instance, look back at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And again, he's speaking there of man's wisdom. And then when he comes to chapter 2, he actually begins to talk specifically about the wisdom of God. That is the wisdom of God in the gospel and things related to the gospel. It's the mind of God. It's the heart of God. It's the plans of God with regard to the gospel. This is a fascinating section. As I've read this and studied it, and when I study something, I mean, I just keep going and going and going until it's time to preach, because there's just so much to look at. and then I stop, and that's what we do. But there's just so much in this. And maybe as I read it, it might seem like a bunch of words, and maybe didn't make a lot of sense. So hopefully we can make some sense of it this morning. But we're thinking about the wisdom of God, particularly in relation to the gospel, and God revealing himself through the gospel. So first of all, we want to look here at the wisdom of God and what the wisdom of God is not. What it is not, with reference to this passage that we just read. So the first thing that the wisdom of God is not, look at verse 5, where we read there that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the first thing that the wisdom of God is not, it is not the wisdom of men. Now think about that for a minute. And maybe let's just confine our thoughts here to the religious world. Just think of the wisdom of men down through the ages, down through the centuries, down through the millennia. Religion, man's religion, man's attempt, if man even believes in God, to find God, to understand God, to connect with God. Now, what's the result of that? We have thousands of religions in our world. But they all have one thing in common. It is man working to do something to gain favor with God. And what God has revealed to us through the gospel is 180 degrees different than that. But for now, just consider that. The wisdom of God with relation to the gospel and the things connected with the gospel is not the wisdom of men. Man comes up with religion, and that'll get him nowhere in favor to God. It's not the wisdom of this age. If we go down into verse 6 now that we just read. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. What do we mean, the wisdom of this age? And maybe we could think there of just the life, society. How does the wisdom of our day tell us how to live? I mean, just think about that. Think through that. You know, we get so entrenched in it in our world and in our society that it just becomes, well, this is what it is. But here's what man has come up with regard to living this life in this world. Well, first of all, he's attacked the very gender of man, male and female, that God has made crystal clear. I saw a headline, I believe it was just this past week. Apparently there was a lady who, I guess somehow, got this whole gender reveal party going for babies. And some of the young mothers here have done that. And, you know, you get your family together and friends and see what that little bundle's going to be, a male or a female. But this lady apparently regrets doing that, getting that started. Why would you think? Because you really don't know what that child's going to be until they're here and decide for themselves. This is the wisdom of man, right? And we see it in our world. The wisdom of man has attacked the very foundational institution of society, and that's the family. We're destroying the family. That is the wisdom of this world. Doesn't even know what a family is anymore. Doesn't know how to define it. It's all kinds of things. And to add to that, we've aborted, Lord knows how many babies, 50, 60 million probably since 1973. That's the wisdom of the world. Tells us how to live, tells us how to make a family, same-sex marriages. The wisdom of this world wants to get rid of the very authority structure of government and law enforcement in our society. God says in his word that that is given to us for our good, ordained of God, for our own safety. And we see what's happening in our world. That's the wisdom of man. Let's just get rid of that. We'll come up with another way. And then we can think of all the moral issues. that our society faces, things that a generation ago or two generations ago never would have been thought of, let's say, being viewed. Now, those of you who have watched I Love Lucy or Dick Van Dyke, those shows were back in the mid to late 60s. And those shows never even showed a man and a wife in the same bed at nighttime. They had separate beds. Not that that was reality, but we just didn't view it. We've come a long way, haven't we? So we could go on and on with that, and that's depressing, and that's not my point, except to say this section is still contrasting the wisdom of man with the wisdom of God. And this is what the wisdom of man gives us. So the wisdom of man is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of this age is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the rulers of this age is not the wisdom of God. And we'll touch on that a little bit here in a moment. And then lastly, the wisdom of God is not discoverable by eye or ear or the heart of man. In other words, not by natural means. Not by what man sees and what man hears and what man feels in his own heart. That isn't the wisdom of God. Now, I want us to look at verse 9 in particular. And I discovered something here in my own reading and my own study that really jumped out at me. And it's that little word, things. Things. I have it highlighted in red. The things. So let's read this verse again. We often use this verse to think about what God is going to reveal to us in heaven. Right? I'm sure we all have probably used the verse that way. That's not what this verse is teaching. And we'll see how that develops. This is kind of a key verse in this whole passage of God revealing himself to man and revealing his wisdom to us in the gospel and things related to the gospel. So verse 9 says this, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." What things? Well, look at this. Look at the rest of these verses. Here's verses 10 through 15. Look how many times that word appears down through this section. Verse 10, following verse 9, says, "But God has revealed them to us." God has revealed. In other words, it's the mind of God. It's the thinking of God. It's the plans of God. The gospel of God. That's what's involved in the things. But he's saying it isn't something yet to be revealed when we get to heaven. Though there will be many things, of course, that we will understand more fully in heaven. But he says in verse 10, God has revealed them to us through the Spirit here and now. In other words, we can find the wisdom of God in these things he's talking about right now, in this life, while we live here on this earth. And you can just scan down through there, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Down in verse 11, "Even so, no one knows the things of God." And again, it goes right back to verse 9, the things that God wants to reveal. The end of verse 12, "We might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak." The Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He goes on to say the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And we'll look at that here in a little bit. So this verse 9 is extremely important. And understanding what we just discovered here, that the wisdom of God is not discoverable by our natural means. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we think. Apart from God's divine revelation. And yet, the world would teach us that as well. So let's go on now and discover what is the wisdom of God, and what does it look like, and what does it include? What does it entail? And by the way, Dean preached a message on James 3, the portion there, 14, 15, thereabouts, that talks about wisdom. That's an excellent message if you weren't here for it. It would be a good one to get. Really enjoyed that message on the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God, again, from the standpoint more of the revelation of God, enlightening our minds, illuminating our minds, and helping us understand the gospel and what it's all about. So what is the wisdom of God as we continue to look through this passage? We'll look now at verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Yet not the wisdom, I'm sorry, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. The first thing we learn here, we're going to look at four things of what the wisdom of God is, this revelation of God to man. First of all, it's a mystery. What is a mystery? Let's take a little closer look at this. Ephesians 3 and verse 5, the mystery of Christ, that's from verse 4. And it goes on to say this, the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. You can look at Colossians 1, 26 and 27 for a very similar thought. The point of both of those passages is a mystery in the Bible is not like a mystery show we watch, who did it? A mystery in the Bible is something that's been hidden by God and needs to be revealed. And it can only be revealed and understood by God himself. So there's a number of mysteries in the New Testament. And we're reading one here in Colossians 2 and verse 7. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. This mystery, whatever this entails, it is before the ages, before the world was ever made, before man was ever formed. This wisdom of God was in the mind of God and in the plan of God and in the purposes of God. But notice what it says at the end of that verse. For our glory. Whatever this plan of God is, and whatever it is he wants to reveal to man in this day and age, going back to the beginning of the New Testament, it's for our glory. We were in his mind. That is the church. Those who have come to faith in Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul talks about in verses 1 through 5. He said, when I came to you, you know, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with great courage and all these things, but I came through the power, or in the power of the Spirit of God, to give you the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. He said, I preached to you Christ and Christ crucified, the gospel. This is the revelation of God, the enlightenment, if you will, of God, and in God's mind, back before the ages ever began. And verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 8, says in connection with this, none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We read a verse this morning in our Breaking of Bread meeting where the Lord Jesus said, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Who's he talking about? Well, the rulers, the leaders, both Gentile and Jew who nailed him to that cross. They don't know what they're doing. We come to the book of Acts in chapter 3 and verse 17. And here's what we read in Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it. Well, go back to verse 14, you deny the Holy One and the just and ask for a murderer to be granted to you. He's talking to his Jewish brethren here. You killed the Prince of Life. And then he says in verse 17, and yet now, brethren, I know you did it in ignorance. They didn't know what they were doing. Some people would even take this rulers of the age and compare it to or say that it's the unseen world, the angelic world, Satan himself. And it's interesting to think through that. Satan wanted the Lord Jesus to be killed from the day he ever came on the earth. In fact, way before that, he wanted to destroy the seed of God, the godly seed, all the way through the Old Testament. It's fascinating to trace. That was always Satan's plan. And when the Lord Jesus was actually on earth, God in a body on earth, he tried to kill him several times. And finally it happened. And Satan may have thought, what a great victory. It wasn't a victory at all. He didn't know what he was doing, either way. Because the Lord Jesus died at the hands of sinful man, through the work of Satan, energizing leaders, rulers, and yet it was the plan of God all along. See, this is the wisdom of God through the gospel. So in this context here of 1 Corinthians 2, the mystery is the wisdom of God in the gospel and all that that entails. Let's look at a second point. What is the wisdom of God? Well, verses 9 and 10 tell us it's revealed. We looked at that at verse 9 just a minute ago. Not discoverable, again, by senses. But what does this mean, that it was revealed? The word means to uncover, to lay open that which has been veiled. Go down to the bottom of that slide. The book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the same word. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. It's that word. So to lay open what has been veiled or hidden, to make known what was beforehand unknown. And I just have several verses here that show us how this word is used. You remember the Lord Jesus was talking to some at one point, and he thanked his Father that what he was teaching was hidden from the wise and yet revealed to babes. In other words, his own. That's why he spoke in parables. We often say the Lord spoke in parables to tell stories so we could understand it. No, he spoke in parables, he said so, to hide these things from the wise and the mighty and to reveal them unto his own. But the hidden and revealed is what I want us to see here. You remember Peter made a great profession of faith in Matthew 16. Remember what Jesus said to him? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but your Father who is in heaven. What you just said, Peter, didn't come from your being, your mind, your heart. It came from God. Galatians 3:23 is an interesting verse. Paul says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith that would afterward be revealed. And again, he's speaking of the whole New Testament gospel. In the Old Testament, they were saved by God's grace through faith, just like we are. But we certainly have a more full revelation of that gospel and what the Lord Jesus did specifically and what is specifically required of us to believe now. This is what God has revealed. So, what is the wisdom of God? It's a mystery. It goes all the way back before the ages began. It's something that's been revealed by God, and we'll see here in a minute, our next point, well, through the Spirit. We might say, well, if this is not discoverable by eye, by ear, by my feelings, whatever, how then does man come to understand the wisdom of God? How does he plug into this? By the Spirit of God. And if you look at verses 10 through 13, that's what it's all about. You begin to read about the Spirit of God. This is extremely, extremely important. As we think about witnessing for the Lord Jesus, or even ourselves, we think about what has happened to us. Now that we belong to Christ, the moment we believed in the Lord Jesus, what transpired? What happened? We don't think of it this way often, but the whole spiritual world was opened up to us. The understanding of the mind of God is opened up to us. I mean, I don't know about you. Many of you were raised in Christian homes, and so you can remember truth from the Bible probably from your earliest memories, which is a great thing. I didn't know anything, absolutely nothing, about the Bible, about spiritual truth. Nothing. So, man, this was like, when I got saved, my whole mind, my whole life is opened up now to spiritual truth that I never knew, never understood, never even dreamed about, thought about. But this is what God does with each one of us. He opens up our ability to understand the things of God. That's what this passage is teaching us. So, the mystery of God in 1 Corinthians 2 is understood by man through the Spirit of God. Let's look at a couple things here. Look at verse 10. We read it earlier. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then it goes on to say, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now it's interesting. Look at verse 11. That was the last part of verse 11. But look at the beginning of verse 11. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit, now that's small spirit, our spirit, of the man which is in him? In other words, you don't know me inside. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know my inner being, my inner feelings. None of us do for one another. I mean, we've been married 41 years, and a lot of times I can look at Michelle and just by her face, or tears, or whatever it might be, I know what she's thinking. But sometimes I don't, even after that length of time. No one knows ourselves like ourselves, even our spouses or longtime acquaintances. And see, that's what he's making that point here. No one knows ourselves like ourselves. No one knows God better than the Spirit of God, because he is God. And it is the Spirit of God who wants to reveal him to us. And so he indwells us. Notice down in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. And Paul says we, in other words himself, the apostles, we as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have received the Spirit of God. Not the spirit of the world. Not the wisdom of the ages. We already were full of that. We need divine enlightenment. And this is what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Remember that word things again. What is it God wants to reveal to you and to me? He wants to reveal his mind. He wants to reveal his heart. He wants to reveal his purposes. He wants to reveal the church. He wants to reveal our eternal destiny. He wants to reveal so many things to you and I. He wants to reveal Christ in the Old Testament. I had a brother, Mike Moody, the last two Wednesdays, who looked at Christ in the Old Testament. I mean, just scratched the surface. He wants us to know and understand and appreciate and be helped by all those things that he reveals. He reveals them through his Spirit. Then in verse 13, these things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Back to man's wisdom, it's not that. But which the Spirit teaches. How's he do it? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is the spiritual things. This book. This is the mind of God put in print. This is a treasure for you and I. Books, 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 and more books. Solomon said that the making of books, there's no end. Ecclesiastes 12. And there isn't. And there's more and more and more books and psychologies and philosophies of man and of life and of afterlife and everything. But here's the book of God's wisdom and God's enlightening. And you and I as believers have now the Spirit of God resident in us to understand it. You go to work tomorrow and you stand beside an unbeliever, he does not understand it. That is, to put it into practice into life. We'll get to that here in a minute. So, as far as this point, that the wisdom of God is understood by man through the Spirit, man is able to know the true and living God. You come to know Him. Jesus said that's what eternal life is in John chapter 17. To know the Father and to know Jesus Christ whom He has sent. That's the way He defined eternal life. We think it's living forever, which it is. But it's knowing the true and the living God, our Creator God. So man is able to do that now through God revealing Himself to us. With the indwelling Spirit of God, he is able to know the mind, the purposes, the plans, the mysteries, the pleasures of God, etc. He understands salvation and his eternal destiny. We are a treasure house of knowledge. Not just to make our heads big, but stuff that really matters, like, well, what are we doing here? And where did we come from anyhow? And where are we going? And what's important? And what should I live for? What is important in life? God has told us. What is the wisdom of God? It's a mystery. It's revealed. It's understood by man through the Spirit of God. And then lastly, it's hidden from the natural man. Natural. Did you catch that word? Natural. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, what do you think the natural man, who do you think he is in contrast to, if you had to take a guess? Well, just, I have to flip the page, but look at verse 15. But he who is spiritual. The spiritual man, the natural man. The spiritual man, it doesn't mean you're a spiritual giant. It simply means you have been enlightened by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God now lives in you and lives in me. We are not natural men and women anymore if we know Christ as our Savior. We're not like the person we're going to run into, probably the first person we run into when we leave this building today. We're not like them. We're spiritual, not natural. What is a natural man? Well, he's void of the Holy Spirit. He's an unbeliever. Does not believe. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Maybe you have a translation that might use the word welcome. Anybody have that translation? Well, that's what it really means. He does not welcome the things of the Spirit of God. What's the difference? Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. He founded this assembly. These people were pagans. And Paul came among them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says this as he writes to them. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. The word welcomed is the same word we have here in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Translated received, but it means welcomed. What's the difference? Paul said you received the word of God. In other words, I preached, you heard it. You received it in that sense, but not everybody believed it. But he's writing to those who believed it, they welcomed it. See the difference? They brought it into their lives. They opened their hearts, and this mysterious dynamic took place where God now saved their souls and enlightened their minds. And that's the gospel. That's what the gospel does. I remember reading a story years ago. It was about a man who was taking a class in a religious, some kind of religious education class. The teacher of the class was a Jew, maybe even a rabbi, as I remember. And they were studying the book of Romans. And the Christian said to the Jewish rabbi, thinking, wow, this is a great opportunity, a Jew opening the book of Romans, and I forget what the passage was, maybe chapter 3, where it clearly delineates the gospel. He says, can you tell me what Romans 3 teaches? And the Jewish rabbi went through Romans 3 and taught the gospel in all its detail. And the Christian said, great. He said, you must be a believer. The Jewish rabbi said, no. He said, you asked me to tell you what it said, what it means. And I did. You didn't ask me if I believed it. I don't. You see the difference? Look, the Bible, in one sense, is a literary book. In other words, it's made, it makes sense. It follows literary, whatever you call it, structure. So you can read down through it. If you go out here and you take your Bible and open it to Genesis 1:1 and give it to anybody and say, would you please read that? And they read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you ask them, what does that mean? What would they say? God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe it? No. You see the difference? The Christian believes it. He not only receives it in the sense he hears it and even understands what it says, but there's a further dynamic where he receives it. The heart, the soul, the mind, the being takes in the living Word of God through the Spirit of God. And our minds are enlightened. Everybody sitting here this morning, we read Genesis 1:1, and what do we get out of it? We have a Creator God. There goes evolution. Throw it in the trash. It's that simple. But what's the wisdom of our age say? No. We'll take evolution. We'll throw your God in the trash. And that's exactly the society we live in. But you see the difference. You see the dynamic. You see what's happening in this passage. This is how God reveals divine things to us. So back to this natural man, he doesn't receive or welcome the things of the Spirit of God. He functions by the natural. What does evolution teach? Really, we're just an animal, right? And an animal functions by his natural, right? He's not spiritual. He has no connection to God. He's a natural brute beast, programmed by God. But that's what evolution would teach us we are. So this again, this is the natural man. There's no spiritual enlightening. There's no spirituality at work. It goes on to say here in verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Back to chapter 1, verse 18, the preaching of the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are not saved. You see what's happening? This is the being of the natural man will not accept spiritual truth. It's foolishness to him. He even goes on further and says here at the end, nor can he know them. It's impossible. Until the Spirit of God does a work. And the dynamic of God working on a heart, bringing conviction, and that heart responding in faith. Until that time, the natural man cannot know the living God. He cannot know the mind of God. He cannot know the purposes. He cannot know the things of God. It's impossible. Someone wrote this last point here. I like the way he wrote it. The natural man is unable to penetrate beneath the surface of life and see things the way they really are. Do you realize that? You and I look at life totally different than the person we may work next to, as they view life. In fact, that's so the things of God are hidden from the natural man. So I put this in sort of a pictorial form, if it helps. So the wisdom of this age. You've got this natural man here looking at the world. And I purposely made the world bigger than this circle. This circle is the wisdom of God as we're thinking about it this morning. With reference to the gospel and the revelation of God in the gospel and things connected with the gospel. So that's what this is picturing. But as the natural man looks at the world, he tries to figure out life, eternity, everything else, origin, by looking naturally and comes up with a theory of evolution, for instance, or other things. But this, the wisdom of God, is absolutely hidden from him. Can't see it. He's blinded by the wisdom of the age. So the natural man, and this is just chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man does not receive or welcome the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned. And only the Spirit of God can give us that discernment and understanding to have it effective in our lives and make a difference in how we live. A man can profess, but if he's not born again and does not come to faith in Christ, the life will never change. Now, contrast that with the wisdom now of God. Here's our same man, but this is the spiritual man now. He's looking, he's looking at the world, but how's he looking at the world? He's looking at the world now through the lens of divine revelation. That's you and I. If we know Christ as our Savior, we look at this world. We look at all the things happening in our world. We look at all the unrest. We look at all the violence. We look at all the pandemic. We look at everything through the lens of divine revelation. It's a fallen world. It's a broken world. What else would we expect but violence and hatred and all that we see coming out? What else would we expect from unsaved human beings? But we see beyond that. See, we can now see the world, but we see it through a different lens. We see it through a different heart. We see it through a different mind. We're not looking at it now through our natural mind. We're looking at the world really through the mind of God. How'd we get that? He revealed it. He gave it to us, that we might freely know all things. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. Let's go back to this as we wrap up here. Maybe this makes a little more sense now, I hope. These things, it's the mind of God. It's the deep things of God. It's the revelation of God. And you and I have been given the ability to understand it, because we know him, because we're saved. You know, I think sometimes we look at our salvation and we really cheapen it. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. I believe in Jesus. And it's like, on with life I go. Man, that's not what God wants. God has deep things for us to explore, to understand, to put into life, to change life, to know him better, to live for him, to prioritize life. It all comes from his revelation in the gospel, through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Fascinating, fascinating. Well, let's meditate on that. Take this chapter and read it again this week. Think about it. Meditate on it. Thank God for it. Ask God how it can change your life in a practical way as we think through these things. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are so thankful this morning, oh, for the great gift that's been given to us. Whether we express that as eternal life, or salvation, or justification, or redemption, however we think about it, these things are true for us. We have come to know the God of this universe, Creator God, who not only has saved us through faith in Jesus Christ, but now wants to reveal and continue to reveal your things to us. Oh, Father, may we take it seriously. May we take your book, the Word of God, seriously, and to realize that it is there that we are taught and built up and our minds and our hearts expanded to know your mind and what you would desire for us to do and how we should live. Oh, Father, may we have a burden to share this with those who are blind, natural men and women who these things are hidden from. They cannot know them until they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for those who have come this morning, for those who have joined virtually. We just pray that you would teach us, encourage our hearts, Lord, in these difficult days that we live. Encourage us with this real and dynamic truth. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.